Our scripture lesson for today is in the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, reading verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" And Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength.' And the second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself.' There is no other commandment greater than these." And then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and besides him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much more important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." After that, no one dared ask him any question. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. The Lord, may the words of my mouth and may the thoughts of all our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm wondering how you hear this. How do you feel when you hear these two commandments here? I think as Americans, we kind of like the Jesus the friend, you know, our bud, our buddy. We like the 10 suggestions, you know. We don't like the 10 commandments. We don't like to be told what to do. But these are commandments, and I think it's worth our time today to look at them and to think about how it is that we can actually obey these commandments in our lives. And it's hard. I don't know how you're feeling this morning, but there are days when none of us believe as much as we used to believe. Do you know what I mean? It's like we have these kind of seasons of the soul where we feel closer to God sometimes, and the other times we feel further away. Sometimes we believe easily and deeply, and other times it's tough and we're not sure. And if you're going through one of those tough times, these two commandments seem almost impossible to do. And I have people ask me sometimes, you know, how I got to be a pastor or a minister. And some people don't think I fit the type, whatever that is. And it took me a long time to reconcile that it's probably a good thing that there's a lot of different types, you know, of preachers. But it was a struggle. And I can remember when I didn't believe anything. There's several times like that, but I'll tell you one. And you'll think you've heard this story before, but you haven't heard the whole part of it. You've heard the beginning of it. but when I was after my senior year in high school, I was at the Montreat Youth Conference, and we were in Anderson Auditorium, and I remember the preacher's, I remember this guy's name. His name was Jim Smith. And he was the preacher that year. And I was kind of half listening, half not listening, because I thought I knew what he was going to say. But he said something I'd never heard before. And he said, "You don't know yourself well enough to make yourself happy." And I thought, man, that's really true, you know? Because there have been so many things that I wanted a new shotgun, all right? That's what I wanted. I wanted a new shotgun, and I wanted this particular shotgun. And I thought, man, my life would be just completely whole if I got that shotgun. And I got it for Christmas, and it was great for about a month. And then I really thought, well, that was nice, but I really want that .22 rifle over there. And that happened, you know, with girls. I'd want this, go out with this girl, and then this girl looked better. You know, and I realized I did not know myself well enough to make myself happy. And so I got perked up when this preacher, Jim Smith, said that. And then he said something really different that I hadn't heard another minister say. He said, God knows you better than you know yourself. So give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. All right, say that with me. Give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. And that was totally new for me, because I'd heard preachers go, give your life to Jesus. But this guy said, give as much as you know of yourself to as much as you know of God. And that really hit me. Like, man, I might be able to do that. And so they started this prayer, and they started playing this song that has like 50 verses called Just As I Am Without One Plea. And it just goes on and on and on. And people, kids, you know, a bunch of teenagers, 1,200 teenagers in Anderson Auditorium, they started getting out of their seats and walking forward to accept Christ. And I got out of my seat, I slid down the pew, and instead of turning right to go down where the stage was, I turned left and walked up the aisle and out of the back of Anderson Auditorium. And I walked around Montreat for hours that night. And I remember saying, God, I don't even know if you're there. I don't even know if you're there. But if you are there, you need to show me, because I'm tired of fooling around, okay? If you're real, I need to know that. And if you're not real, I need to know that. But this is important. And about 2 weeks after that, I went to college. I went to Wake Forest. And I've told the story about going into finding the chapel of the fellowship there. But it was that fellowship of kids my age that drew me into belief in God and in Jesus. And the way they did it, I want you to understand this, was by living these two commandments right here. And I want to talk about that, because I think this church does it. I really do. I think you guys, in the 6 years that I've been here, I have observed this church doing these commandments. So this isn't a sermon like you need to do it because you aren't doing it. It's just to try to understand so that we can do it more. Because in doing these commandments, there's healing. That when we love God with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbor as ourself, we heal. We heal ourselves, and we heal other people. And that's what that fellowship did for me, because they loved God. And that's how I got from non-belief to belief, was just being with them. It's kind of like Elizabeth's sermon, was it last week or 2 weeks ago? Last week. About the friends. I wasn't here, but I listened to it. About the friends. It's like the friends of that guy who let him down, and the friends of the people on the Outer Banks who got the plank, who got the plywood and brought their wheelchair friend. Those friends are what drew, loving them that way is what drew them and healed that man. And that's what happened to me, is that fellowship healed me. That fellowship gave me a sense of God's love, gave me a sense of my own worth so I could love myself. And then that gave me the resource to be able to love other people and to love God. And I believe that is how it happens. I want to read you. I got three quotes here. All of them are really good, but some may stick out. But the whole idea of what love is, loving the Lord with your whole heart, that's your emotions, your soul, your mind, is like, you know, studying Bible, studying God, and all your strength, and loving your neighbor as yourself. It's really interesting. I want to get to this before I get to this quote. That in this situation, Mark throws everybody a curveball. Because in Mark, before this passage and after this passage, the scribes are the bad guys. All through, the scribes are the people that are going to kill Jesus. And they're disputing with Jesus. And they're trying to find ways to arrest him and kill him. And yet, even this guy, a scribe, Jesus says, he doesn't whitewash him with all the other scribes. He says, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And the interesting thing was is that the scribes heard Jesus talking and disputing with other scribes, and right before us with the Sadducees who don't believe in the resurrection. That's why they're sad, you see. And I couldn't help it. But he hears this, and he says, what is the great commandment? And just like Jesus always does, he doesn't just do one, he does two. He asks for one. Jesus gives him two. And they are commandments. They're not suggestions. They're commandments. And it's to love. It's to love God. It's to love your neighbor. Even the laborer that has a different sign in their yard than you do right now. And to love yourself. And okay, so let's talk about what love is. And the first is from C.S. Lewis. This is from Mere Christianity. On the whole, God's love for us is a much safer subject to think about than our love for him. Nobody can always have devout feelings. And even if we could, feelings are not what God principally cares about. Christian love, either towards God or towards us, is an affair of the will. If we're trying to do his will, we are obeying the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. He will give us feelings of love if he pleases. We cannot create them for ourselves, but we must not demand them as a right. But the great thing to remember is that though our feelings come and go, his love for us does not. It is not wearied by our sins or our indifference, and therefore is quite relentless in its determination that we shall be cured of those sins at whatever cost to us and at whatever cost to him. You know, we want a kind of warm, fuzzy feeling, like that's what love is to us, is the feels, all the feels. And yet it's a decision of the will to do the commandment of God. That is what loving God is to just get up and do it. Do God's command to love neighbor and to love God. All right, that's the first one. Now here's what Frederick Buechner says about love. In the Christian sense, love is not primarily an emotion, but an act of the will. When Jesus tells us to love our neighbors, he's not telling us to love them in a sense of responding to them in a cozy emotional feeling. You can as well produce a cozy emotional feeling on demand as you can produce a yawn or a sneeze. On the contrary, he is telling us to love our neighbors in the sense of being willing to work for their well-being, even if it means sacrificing our own well-being to that end, even if it means sometimes just leaving them alone. Thus, in Jesus' terms, we can love our neighbors without necessarily liking them. In fact, liking them may stand in the way of loving them by making us overprotective sentimentalists instead of reasonably honest friends. So, okay, so both of those quotes, I keep going back to the fellowship at Wake Forest. And what did they do? What did they do that they invited me to, like, Bible studies? I didn't know there were Bible studies at Wake Forest. And they would invite me to, and there were guys, it was just guys, and in the men, back then we had men's dorms and women's dorms. And I was there. I was pitiful. I didn't understand anything, and I really was kind of depressed most of the time. And they sat there, and we would you know how you have a circle prayer, and everybody kind of goes around and squeezes and their hands, and somebody prays and squeezes and prays. They'd squeeze my hand, and I would pray for like 10 minutes. I mean, in that room, 10 minutes. Oh God, I just don't feel, you know. And everybody, they were so patient with me. You know, like, I'm sure they were saying, can somebody tell him that these prayers are supposed to be a little shorter? But they listened. And that's what that brings me to the third quote here. If you want to know, you know, what is loving? Love is a verb. It's a verb. Love is a verb. It's something you do. It's not something you feel. And here's what Scott Peck in his book, The Road Less Traveled, says about love. He says, since love requires an extension of ourselves, love is always either work or courage. If an act is not one of work or courage, it is not an act of love. There are no exceptions. The principal form that the work of love takes, this is important, is attention. When we love one another, we give him or her our attention. We attend to that person's growth. When we love ourselves, we attend to our own growth. When we attend to somebody, we are caring for that person. And by far, the most common and important way in which we can exercise our attention is by listening. So if you can put that in your head as an equals mark, love is listening. Not just, you know, being in the same room where somebody's mouth is going off, but listening, getting what they're saying, listening. That is loving. And that is what those folks at Wake Forest did to me, that fellowship. They listened to me. As pathetic as I probably was, they listened to me. They loved God with their whole heart, and they loved me, their neighbor. And loving me, their love of me, their listening to me, allowed me to love myself. And that's the big healing. And I feel like that this church is gifted at that. I really do. This congregation has so much love here. And, as we talk about forthrightly ending my time here as pastor, I know that the next place I'm going, I'm going to talk about this church. And I'm going to talk about how pleasant a six-year stay this was. And how the reason is because you people know how to love. You listen. You pay attention. And you love God that way. And it's such a healing thing. And that's why it's so important to keep inviting people to come to church. Because this is where people get healed. This is where they find God's love. And this is where they're able to love themselves. So these are imperatives. Love the Lord your God. Love your neighbor as yourself. And so think about, if you know now that love is listening, what does it mean to love the Lord your God? It means to listen to God. It means coming to church, reading the Bible, listening to the sermon, it's God's word, listen to God's word. And when you pray, listen for God's spirit to speak to you. Sometimes when I'm praying, I'll get an idea that I need to pray for somebody or call them or see them. I feel like that's the Holy Spirit. It's not empirically provable, but it feels that way. And that's listening to God. So if you're loving God, you're listening to God. If you're loving your neighbor, you're listening to your neighbor. And strange as it may be, if to love yourself, you got to listen to yourself too. You got to hear yourself. So anyway, I'm going to finish with a song. And it's funny when you know your days are numbered here. I realized all the time I was here, I always thought I would play a lot more of the songs I wrote. And I've hardly ever done it. And I'm not saying I'm going to do it every Sunday. Y'all would probably not like that. But this is one that kind of talks about that fellowship of it's called I'm So Glad. It says, I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth I'd be. And I feel that way about it. That's how I got from not believing to being a pastor. And I feel like that's true of this fellowship here. So Dave's going to put the words up there, aren't you, Dave? There you go. When I'm left alone, I seem to make a mess of things. It must be in my genes when by myself to always crash and burn. I never seem to learn, but I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth I'd be. Left to my own device, I never reach the goal. I dig myself a hole. I know what's right, but I do just the reverse till I finally get immersed in it. I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth I'd be. Time after time I would fall on my face. Sometimes I'd push you away. But time after time, night after night, you keep saying you wanted to stay. So here we are. The past is left behind. The future ours to find. Now I look towards the day. With all that we've been through, I might do some good for you. Maybe I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not for you, I can't imagine where on earth. I'm so glad you gave your hand to me. If not where on earth I'd be, where on earth I'd be. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for communities that love and listen. And thank you for people who teach us how to love and listen, how to love you with our whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, how to love our neighbor, and how to love ourselves. Lord, thank you for this church, for all the loving that is here, and for all the listening. For all the ways that folks here bring others to you. When we're in those phases of unbelief, Lord, lead us to people who will listen and who will give us their hand. In Jesus' name, amen.